Accession number 27497, Mr. Dieter Hahn, Reel 4. Now, so what happens now? We're moving into 1945 now, aren't we?
Yes.
So what happens?
What happened? As I say, I was attached to, as a runner.
Attached to who? Or was it just your job?
It was just my job. How can I explain it? It was a small command post, I suppose. And I was attached to that as a runner.
So what happened?
What happened? I can remember that I was asked to... Oh, yeah. One of our higher officers lived on the other side of the Rhine. And he wanted to move some of this furniture or whatever it was to his home on the other side. And all we had was a lorry driven by... there was a big stove behind the cab where you put in wooden logs, and the thing was driven by wood fire, or wood gas, if you will. Have you ever heard of that? No, it was a big cylinder where the wood actually didn't burn, but it sort of smouldered. Nuisance they were. Anyway, we loaded this thing up, we got across the Rhine, we got to where we were supposed to go, to this higher officer's estate, or whatever you call it, unloaded. On the way back, we were going over this bridge, over the bridge across the River Rhine. We were the only one going west. Everybody else was going east. And we were told that the bridge were to be blown at a certain time at night. And we were debating whether to join the people going east. And then our duty, I suppose, got the better of us and went back to where we came from. Much to our disadvantage, because the bridges were blown. I think it was midnight.
So well, you were trapped on the west side?
Trapped, if you like, yes, trapped. Now, conditions in mines at that time were indescribable.
Well, try.
They were indescribable. There were hundreds, if not thousands, soldiers milling about. Nobody knew who was who and what was what. Commands, there were none. And then the order
came. So there was military order had broken down?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, how did it show itself? I mean, what were these troops doing anything bad, or were they just milling about?
They were just milling about. And then order came through that our company, for some reason or other, were more or less together, but they were supposed to be ferried across the Rhine on ferries. Except our lieutenant or lieutenant and myself. I cried.
Why? Tell me, what were you thinking?
Well, I cried. Why me? Why have I to stay? There was this lieutenant and his, well, could you call it batman or his sergeant? Or there were three of us eventually. No, why did I cry? I thought, well, why have I to stay back on the other's cross? But the rumour spread then that these ferries, while they were crossing, were hit by American artillery. There was heavy loss of life. Enough said.
So an escape, in a way.
In a way, yes, escape.
Now, why were you staying behind in Mainz, with this officer? What were you meant to be doing?
I wish I knew. As you just said, the military command had completely broken down. There were hundreds of us milling about. Nobody knew who was who and what was what. But I can also remember that we came across a store, a barrack, full of food and things like this. And in front was an SS man. And you heard about Hitler's scorched earth policy. And we didn't have anything to eat for days. So our officer asked this SS man to open up and let us in and give us something to eat. And he wouldn't. And he shot him. Of course, we got in. There was stuff in there which we hadn't seen for years. And of course, the civilian population came as well with their little hand carts and wheelie bins and what have you. And within half an hour, the thing was empty. There was, you mentioned that it was there. We hadn't seen for years. It was crammed full. I think I went into captivity. It was about 2,000 cigarettes on me. I had them stuffed in my jack boots and my turn-ups on my sleeves, everywhere. My pockets were bulging with cigarettes. I think I had about 2,000 cigarettes on me. I didn't smoke them all myself, like, but now then, how were we captured? We ended up in, well, I can only describe it as a little wine cellar.
In mines,
yeah. There were little barrels all around the wall, and we were just sitting there. I think there was a little bit of few drops in these barrels, and we had them, and of course on an empty tummy. It didn't do as much good. I think we're a little bit, at least I was a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Drunk.
Well,
tipsy.
Yeah, tipsy, yeah. And we could hear the American tongues, the chains rattling in the street, and eventually the Americans appeared at the top of the stone steps. And we marched out, and the youngs just shook their heads because we were only lads.
Well, you were. What, you'd be, what, 17?
17.
And how did they treat you?
On the whole, all right. Like anything else, there were good'uns and bad'uns on both sides. We were put on a lorry, I remember that. And we went westwards. And I think the first night we were in an open camp, sleeping outside. It was a bit cozy because it was the middle of March.
This is March.
Yeah, 45. And eventually we landed up. Oh, we were put on a train, in cattle trucks, on a train. And we landed up at a big camp at Cherbourg. The camp consisted of tents, big tents. I suppose it was an original a camp for the Americans. But they turned it into a POW camp.
Now, what was it like?
All I can remember that the youngs were sarcastic, in as much as there were, if I remember right, there were four of us in a tent, and they very kindly gave us one razor blade per tent in the morning. Apart from that, how we were fed and what the food was like, I can't remember.
You can't. You've got no complaints, but you don't remember it was good or bad.
I can't remember, no. And what we did, all I can remember, we were there when President Roosevelt, was it? When he died. We were still in the camp then.
So that was... What was happening in this camp? Do you see what I mean? Or you just don't remember it?
Nothing much to the best of my knowledge. And one day, as I say, we were still there when Roosevelt died, when it came over the loudspeakers. Then one day we were told to pack up. We were taken down to the harbour and put aboard of one of those mass-produced Liberty ships. You're going to America.
Now, what did you think of that?
Well, I suppose I was a little bit excited. I mean, normally I would never have got to America. Anyway, we went across the channel. We anchored up somewhere on the south coast of Britain, where there was a big convoy that was being assembled. It was still war. And away we went with this convoy. Of course, we slept on the steel planking there in the hold. And the cover of the hold was not there because of fresh air and so on and so forth. And this convoy was attacked by German U-boats.
What do you remember of that?
Oh, I remember that quite well.
Tell us about it.
Well, as I said, the cover of the hold was not there. And, of course, we saw all the flashes of explosions and star shells and Americans going mad, you know, rushing about. And every time we saw a big explosion, we shouted, "Hooray!" sort of. Give them hell, that sort of thing. However,
supporting the U-boats then.
But I mean, little did we know that we might be the next.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, little did we know. We didn't realise that. Anyway, we landed in New York Harbour on VE Day.
Now, what do you remember of that? I mean, what was there any celebrations?
Well, that's the whole point. I can't remember whether the Youngs told us they wouldn't disembark there, or we guessed because it was VE Day. But the point of this, they didn't disembark us in New York. They took us round the corner to Boston, which was another 2 days' journey on the boat. There we were embarked. We were put on a train. Now, there was a train, or the coaches were what you see in the old cowboy films, you know, four seats for four persons, but there was only two because you could make it into a bed at night. Yeah. To us it was a height of comfort. It's a height of luxury to us that was. And away we went. First stop was Chicago. We were allowed to go onto the platform to stretch our legs, I suppose, and for the water canisters and tanks to be refilled and so on and so on. And I would say that there were more American guards than there were POWs. Back on the train, and away we went. Now, I can never remember whether it was 3 days and two nights, or 3 nights and 2 days we were on this train. And we got to Camp Carson at Colorado Springs near Denver.
Well, that would be the camp you stayed at?
Yeah, that was the camp we stayed. And that would be...
How do you spell Carson? K-A...
R-S-O-N. Camp Carson.
Oh, is it Carson? C. Yeah. Ah, right.
Oh, yes, I beg your pardon. C-A-R.
That's mean, it's just a slight accent.
Yeah.
It's Camp Carson.
Yeah.
And what can you give it, what was Camp Carson like?
There were solid, well, wooden barracks. I don't know how many there were. I think it was divided into a sub-camp. I don't know why, but this sub-camp was a little bit higher than the rest. There was a bit of a slope. The whole camp was surrounded by double wire with watchtowers at each corner. I can remember one night we got hold of a two-wheeled handcart from somewhere, God knows where from, and we stuffed a sack full of straw, got a hat from somewhere, put this sack into this handcart and put the hat on, and then we went to the canteen or the cookhouse, and we got some big tins. I mean, anything American is 10 times bigger than anybody else's. You know? We got big biscuit tins, empty biscuit tins, about half a dozen. And we tied these to this handcart. And then in the middle of the night, we pushed, as I said, there was a bit of a downhill. We pushed this handcart down this hill, and it gathered speed with these empty tins rotting behind, and eventually it crashed into the fence. Chaos. Americans, dozens, dogs running up and down the double wire fence, searchlights going on, and all we did was we just stood there at the top laughing our heads off. Work.
Tell me about that. What work were you doing?
Well, the first thing we had to do was thinning sugar beets.
Thinning them?
The little plants coming through. You know, there were sort of long rows of seedlings. We had a little hole, about, 5-6 inches wide, with a short handle. We had to go down on our hands and knees and thin them out. And as I said, anything American is 10 times bigger than anybody else. So if you stood at the end of the field, you had to go like this to see the other end. And if my memory serves me right, we had to do 3, if not 4 rows a day. And if it got dark, I think on one occasion at least, the farmer came out with his lorry, with his truck, put the headlights on. We worked by the lights of the headlamps.
That sounds pretty hard work.
It was. If the soil was softish, it wasn't so bad. But when the soil was hard and baked, that was hard work. That was hard work. Well, another thing I can remember, as soon as we got there, the Americans showed us films from these concentration camps.
Now, what did you think of that?
It'll shake you. We laughed.
Now, why? What was going on?
We laughed. Why? Because we could not and would not accept that anything as horrific as that was carried out in the name of Germany.
So you just didn't believe it?
No, we did not believe it. We thought it was nothing more than a gigantic American propaganda stunt.
See that?
Yeah.
While you were in Germany, you had no idea it was going on, though.
We heard of concentration camps, yes. And I think we were all afraid of if it misbehaved to land in one, if you know what I mean. Yeah? But what actually went on, no. And to see those horrible scenes, no. We just could not and would not accept it, that this was done in the name of Germany. What changed our minds? Well, I suppose the more of it came to light, we had to accept it as true. We were shocked.
How did you feel about having lost the war? I mean, you know, you've been captured. And now when V-Day was there, you'd obviously lost the war. Japan was still fighting, but Germany was out of the war.
Mm.
How did you personally feel? I mean, how committed to Germany, to Hitler, were you at that time? It's not a criticism. Again, this is just how it was for you. You know, what did you think?
Well, I mean, we accepted this. We knew that we couldn't possibly win. As soon as America ended the war, or Hitler declared war on America, I think that was the time that... I'm speaking for myself now. Yeah? I think I felt that it was... No, we couldn't possibly win. And of course, then when the invasion came, VE Day in 44...
D-Day,
not being a D-Day, yeah. In 44, well, I think, speaking for myself again, I mean, I was only a youngster then, but deep down I felt, I don't think we can win.
Did you ever lose respect for Hitler and for the Nazi Party, or did you never, you know, at that time?
Well, didn't lose respect. Just before I was taken prisoner in Mainz, I was still walking about with my rifle. And I was so fed up with the damn thing, I took the bolt out, threw it down the drain, and broke my rifle over the wall and says, "Oh, to hell with you, Adolf, and your war."
And what had caused that disillusionment?
Well, just general conditions. I mean, anybody can't possibly imagine what it was like. I mean, we knew that the war was lost. So what was the purpose of going on? Of course, there were these stubborn, hard-headed Nazis still about, who would find to the bitter end. But as far as I was concerned, I was utterly fed up. Absolutely fed up.
Now, you're in the camp. What were the conditions like in the camp? I mean, you had to work hard during the day.
Well,
what about conditions, food, things like that?
Food was all right up to a point. The thinning of the sugar beets, it only lasted while, well, I don't know, midsummer, I suppose. And then at one time, my mate and I were sent to work on the airfield in Denver. There was a big American military hospital consisting of wooden wards, if you like, and they were connected with corridors. And we worked in the storeroom, sort of taking clean linen to different wards and collect dirty linens for sending to the laundry, and taking medicine and drugs to different wards and so on and so forth. I quite enjoyed that.
So you were detached, just the two of you?
Well, we were still living in the camp.
But you'd go out do a day's work there?
That's right, yeah.
And that sounds a lot easier than the field.
Oh, it was. In fact, I quite enjoyed it. I mean, how were we treated? Okay. At dinner time, we joined the Americans in the queue for them in the mess hall. No, nothing. We were just there. And they accepted us as such.
How did the Americans generally... There's a lot of German-Americans, if you know, Americans of German descent.
Oh, yes.
How did they generally treat you?
All right. All right.
And what did you think of them?
Well, I don't know whether they were of Jewish origin because they left Germany and went to America, or whether they didn't believe in the Nazi Party or what. I have no idea. But they were all right. I can remember only one guard or was a bit nasty.
And how was he nasty?
I was working there on this row of turnips from a little hole.
Turnips? You mean beet?
Beet, yeah. Yeah, beet. And I just stood up to stretch my back when he shot me between the legs.
Put a bullet into the ground?
Yeah.
Just to start with you?
Just to start with me. And I was, well... Yeah, I was startled. Yeah. What else can I say? I mean, you would be, and anybody else would be if you. That was the only instant.
So what happened next? What was going on? You're still working in the hospital?
Yeah. I can't remember how long. I can't remember. And then. In the winter of this would be 45, 46, wouldn't it?
It would.
It was pretty cold, and the youngs made us walk. We weren't allowed in the barracks. We had to walk round in the camp itself, I suppose for saving coal or whatever, or just as punishment, I don't know. But I remember vaguely that we had to walk about for 2 hours. Morning and afternoon. What happened at Christmas? I can't remember. Christmas 45, 46.
Were you in touch at all with your family back in Germany? I mean, did you write letters? Did they write to you? Did they know where you were?
Well, we were allowed... I forget now, was it 2 cards a week and... 2 cards a month, something like that. I wrote to my parents giving the address, Camp Carson, Colorado Springs. Of course, in those days, just after the war, the postal service in Germany was quicker by a snail. My parents got this card or this letter. They wrote me several cards, Red Cross cards, which were returned saying await better address. For the simple reason, by the time they arrived at Camp Carson, we had left. That would be in the middle of January 46. When we were told to pack up, lads, you're going back to Germany. Hurrah. Back on the train. We landed in LA. And on the way, it'll always stick in my memory. We passed let's call it an aeroplane park. There were literally hundreds, if not thousands, of American warplanes parked there of any description and any size. And I thought to myself, how the devil did we expect to win the war against this? I remember that quite clearly. We passed, it must have taken, five, 10 minutes to pass the damn thing. Anyway, we landed in Los Angeles. From there, we were